have the best seat in the house. Welcome to the front row for the Utah Jazz. I'm your host, Holly Rowe, and we are celebrating Women's History Month. So we are showcasing all of these incredible women in our organization, starting with one of our assistant coaches for the Salt Lake Stars, Gia Perkins. This is so cool for me because we go way, way, way back to your days when you were a player at Texas Tech for Marcia Sharp, I think, back in the day when they had one of the best programs in the country. You were all Big 12. You were one of the best players in the Big 12. Tell me what that young woman in that era, those skills she was developing that are now helping you when you work for the Salt Lake Stars.
Yeah. Well, going to Tech, I'd be remiss not to talk about the legend, Shel Soups. That's one of the reasons why I chose to go to Tech. So just to help Romaine build her legacy and what Texas Tech meant to her. So it's kind of big shoes to fill, but I had a great time, learned so much from Marcia, just to help me be like the defensive. You know, I'm like that defensive-minded player, but I love offense as well. So just coming here and be able to teach both sides of the game, I think has really helped me a lot.
For people who don't know your game, you were a heck of an offensive player, but you did build your foundation on defense. And one of my favorite stories about you, you go through your senior year, you get pregnant with your daughter, mm-hmm. and so you're not sure if your WNBA future is set. You get drafted in the third round of the WNBA, and very few third round players make the league. Mm-hmm. Why did people believe in you as a player and draft you?
I think they just believed in the talent that I showcased while I was at Tech. Like you said, I was drafted the third round. I was actually watching the draft, and it cut off before I got drafted, and I didn't even know if I got drafted or not, and I got a call from Tanya, and she let me know. So it was kind of a surreal moment for me, but, you know, I just put in the work before I was with child, and they believed in me, and I'm thankful for that they did. And the person who drafted me was also Cheryl, so it was kind of full circle whenever I did end up going to the Lynx.
That's so crazy. Cheryl Reeve, who then became the coach at the Minnesota Lynx. So you go to the Charlotte Sting. I was trying to figure out, did you and Dawn Staley cross times there at all?
We did.
You got to play with Dawn Staley. Tell me, what was that like?
Dawn yelled at me a lot those first years, Dawn. But no, it was good. She helped me as well because she was like, you know, your mid-range game is really good, but they're going to figure that out. So you had to add to your game. And so I took that to heart and I, you know, got in the gym and was getting some threes up and working on my finishes. So she helped me develop my all-around game.
So you go to the league. When I kind of ran across you again, you're playing for the Minnesota Lynx, winning a WNBA championship in one of the best series I've ever seen, the LA Sparks, the Minnesota Lynx. You're there with Maya Moore, Simone Augustus, Sylvia Fowles, Lindsay Whalen. What was it like playing on that kind of legendary dynasty team?
It was great. I had relationships with those girls before I came, so that kind of helped me. And, you know, they accepted me when I came in for who I am and how I played. Knowing that I'm playing with four Olympians, I knew that I probably didn't need to score the basketball like I used to and get as much shots up. But I just brought that defensive mentality when I came. And, you know, I was willing to do whatever to build that championship and win one finally. And so in 2017, we got that victory. It was just the best feeling ever.
Oh, WNBA champ, you've just been good everywhere you've gone, but it hasn't always been easy. You know, like you had to go overseas. You had to keep your basketball playing dream alive. Tell me what were some of the crazy stops in your career that kept your kind of basketball journey going?
Well, the best place that I probably went was Israel just because, you know, I took my daughter with me everywhere I went. And so it was just kind of easier to get around there. We had four Americans on each team. We had a guy's team. And it was a really Americanized over there. And so that was probably the best place for me as far as being comfortable and knowing that she's in good hands. And she actually went to school over there and she spoke Hebrew fluently. So she lost it when she came back. Unfortunately, but yeah, so I would say Israel and then just overseas is like where I really got to develop my game because I came a true scorer. Like that's what they want you to do overseas. So that really helped my game offensively.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about you as a foundational defensive player, but you developed your 3-point shot. You increased your range every year in the league. So now you take that turn from being a player. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to go into coaching?
I love the game, Holly, and it's, like I said, it's given so much to me, and so to be able to pour that into these guys and just let them know my journey and help them get to where they want to get to, which is either in an MBA or overseas. That's really why I'm here, just to pour into them guys.
I'm always curious because, like, you kind of come in and you're probably talking to the guys, like, do they know what kind of a player you were? Like, she was a really good player, WNBA champ. Like, do we need to tell them, or do they know? Do they look it up?
Well, Holly, you know me, so you know I haven't said
you're
anything.
You're not gonna brag on yourself.
Exactly. So I think a couple of guys kind of looked up some highlights or something, but, you know, we'll see. But it's funny because in the locker room, the coaches, we have a conversation. And you can help me out with this, Holly. So
yes.
We were talking about, like, getting cooked, like, on defense. I was like, I really don't remember a time that I've just been cooked, you know? And they're like, oh, no, you have to be. If you're guarding the best player, you've been cooked. I was like, I don't know. Let me ask her, because I really don't know.
I don't have any memory of you ever getting cooked, because you were always so good with your feet. And you were, I mean, for your size, I thought you were a really tough physical guard, even though you were a little undersized. Mm-hmm. I don't remember you ever getting cooked. I mean, this is the best of the W in your day. I really do not remember you ever getting cooked. So I stand on that.
I appreciate that.
All right. Now somebody's going to put a highlight out there. Like, somebody will be like, don't you remember? Candace Parker will be like, don't you remember that one? Chelsea Gray was good. Maybe once Chelsea got you down the lane, but I really don't remember that.
Yeah, scoring, of course I got scored on, but I mean, like, where they're like clearing the back. When I think of cooked, I'm thinking like, hey, I don't need a screen. I'm just going to go one-on-one, you know?
And you're like stumbling backwards and sit down. Yeah, part. I really, even back to college, I don't ever remember you getting cooked. So we'll stand on those facts. So you come to the Utah organization, the Utah Jazz organization, Salt Lake Stars. You know, this is kind of a new frontier in the last, I would say, 10 years for women. You know, we see Lindsay Harding coaching as the head coach of a G League team. You know, there's been some other women in these roles. What is the attraction right now for former players? We're seeing a lot of former WNBA players get in this lane.
Yeah. I think kudos to the NBA and the WNBA reaching out to former players and trying to get them more involved. I mean, if you're in the league this long, you have some form of knowledge basketball-wise. So they came with the NBA development program, and I was a part of that last year. It's been really helpful in developing coaches. So I think it helps us kind of find that pathway into coaching. And when we get there, we kind of are familiar with some of the software and just some of the terminologies.
Yeah, it's good. I've seen Candace Dupree, Christy Tolliver, Lindsay Harding, yourself. Like, there's a lot of really good former pro women's players that are now coaching men. And I think you do have a lot to give, because you were just saying you're so passionate about the game.
Mm-hmm.
As you kind of navigated yourself this season, what's been cool about the Stars? Like, what have you seen with the growth of this team? Because they are very young.
Yeah. Well, I think it speaks that we had Bryce and Taylor at the beginning of the year, and now they're with the Jazz and they're thriving. So I think the whole staff has done a great job of developing these young players, and I think that's the goal of the G League, right, is to develop these young NBA players into NBA players. So that's kind of what we look to do with the G League.
Yeah, it's been really fun to see them kind of come up. And I've talked with Taylor Hendricks and Bryce a little bit about this, but mostly Taylor, of, you know, you get drafted and you have this expectation. You're going to the league. It's all going to be sunshine and roses. And then you realize, no, the work is just starting now. How have you guys been able to kind of keep them steady and, like, no, this is a daily process. Mm-hmm. We're going to pour into you. So when your moment comes, you're going to be ready. It's not always, you know, the fast track.
Yeah. I think it helps that you have a good group of guys, and Taylor and Bryce have been amazing for us. They're receptive to criticism. They just want to get better and be better basketball players. So it's just a daily grind, and they know that, and they really put in the work with us.
Yeah, it's hard because they're going, like, from a Stars practice to maybe a Jazz shoot around. They're playing a Stars game, and then they're on the bench for the Jazz one night. How have they all kind of navigated? You know, it's Bryce, Taylor, Johnny Juzang now is playing more and more. Micah Potter, how have they kind of all navigated the ups and downs of that?
Yeah, I think it's just about being a pro. And, you know, obviously they're men, and, you know, it gets frustrating because you're human. But they've done a good job of having an outlet, and then just when they're around us, being professional and doing their job.
You talk a little bit about the NBA development program for coaching. So what I was hoping is, like, for any women out there watching this, or little girls, or people who are coming up in basketball, tell me what your job is like. Like, I want people to be like, there's a lot of really cool, good jobs in sports. here's something you might be good at. What is your day-to-day job and what skills would it require?
Yeah, so number one, I love being at the gym. So just being at the gym for the 4 or 5 hours that I'm in there, I love that. Love meeting and talking basketball. For the first two, we have our coaches meeting. And then my role with the team is I have three particular players that I work with skill-wise and development-wise and watch film with and work out after practice or before practice whenever they want to get their extra work in. And then I have scouts that I do. And so I've gotten better at my scouts, Holly. I'm getting good at my scouts now.
So this is a real conversation. So back in the day, Marsha Sharp, Cheryl Reeve, you know, Marsha was your coach at Texas Tech. Cheryl Reeve was your coach at the Minnesota Lynx. And I've always been curious of players like, oh, yeah, scouting report. Now that you're the one preparing it and trying to present it to the guys, do you appreciate the scouting report process in a different way?
Of course, I do. Like, it's a lot of work for just one game, you know, and it's like you just can control what you can control, and then you just give them the information, and they just have to go out there and play. So it's a lot that goes on in the background that you really didn't know, but now you can appreciate your coaches and what they did to prepare you for these games.
The Stars, you know, the games are coming fast and furious right now. They've been on a little bit of a winning streak lately. How gratifying is that you've had some personnel changes, you've had roster changes, but that the team is winning right now?
Yeah, and I think that's the G League, right? You just had to adapt, and kudos to our guys for staying professional and just grinding it out, because we've had so many changes to our team, but it's the next man up mentality, right? So, you know, that's kind of what we've preached, and our guys have really done that moving forward.
So there's been a new fun addition, Isaiah Thomas, who, you know, we were talking before we started recording about, he is someone who has shown up and come to WNBA games forever. Before it was cool to be supporting the WNBA, Isaiah Thomas would be there courtside in Seattle with his kids. So I've always held a deep appreciation for him because he is a true supporter of women. How has it been to have him join the Stars and, like, now you're coaching this kind of legendary player?
Yeah, and like you said, Isaiah was sitting courtside when I was playing Seattle, so I haven't said anything to him about that. I'm trying to stay, you know, professional. But I, like I said, I admire him coming and supporting the W when it wasn't, you know, the it thing to do. And he just loves basketball. He's passionate about it, and he understands basketball is basketball. So it's been great for me just to be around him, a true professional, great human. And he just adds that, you know, wealth of knowledge and experience for us.
That's so cool. So Becky Hammon is doing very well right now as a coach in the WNBA. She was a longtime coach in the NBA. How do I ask this the right way? Women are different communicators. Like, we just communicate in a different way sometimes. How do you think the addition of women into coaching of men's teams is positive? Because it is a different type of connection or a different type of communication.
That's a good question. For me, like you said, I just try to be myself and just give out the information, but I'm passionate as well. And I actually, you know, care about these guys and want them to be successful. Not to say no, the other coaches don't. But I think there's a little more passion and, like, just how we deliver it is in a more, like, caring way, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was sitting with Teresa Witherspoon, who was coaching in the NBA recently. She's now back in the W. As she was kind of going over her clips with one of her players and listening to her dissect what he's doing well and the positive self-talk and the positive ways to show a player. Like, when you're sitting down with a player, how is that conversation going of, like, this is what we need to focus on?
Yeah, I think you build a rapport with each player. So you might have to come at players differently for each player because their personalities are different. But they trust you, and I think you have to be honest. Like, they like honesty. So, you know, we're just watching a film, and I'm being honest with what I see and let them give a chance to ask them, actually, what do they see as well, so we can have that dialogue together.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, players can get in their heads, like, on this play, I was thinking this, this, and this. And then you're like, oh, that might explain why it happened this way, right? So you're getting their feedback before you're correcting or criticizing, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Because what you don't want to do is the players to overthink. So I want to get to see why they did something in the offense. And then I'd be like, okay, I can see that too. And just let them see this is another option.
Right. That's a good way to say it. So as you are pouring into these young men who are trying to make the NBA, you know, they're trying to make an NBA roster, or they might be getting more opportunities overseas, how much of your journey of, like, this used to be me. Like, do they understand, or can you share with them, like, I've been in your shoes. I've been the one trying to make a roster. I've been the one trying to get a contract overseas. This has been my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the cool thing about it, is because you can relate to these guys, and it's not about man or woman or male or female. It's just about being able to relate. And, you know, I've had a lot of my players at different points of their career, and it's like I can relate to each player where they're at now, you know? And so it's just kind of pouring into them, keeping them encouraged, like, and just meeting them where they are.
A wide ranging career. Started out in Texas, went to Texas Tech, all Big 12, WNBA champion. How would you describe your basketball journey and how it has made you the coach that you are now?
Well, I think I've been through it all. You know, I've had basketball taken away from me for a moment in time, and then it's been highs and there's been lows. But I've stuck to it and stuck with it, and I was blessed to win a championship. So just coming into coaching, I know there's going to be ups and downs, but just teaching the guys, you got to just stick with it and put the work in, and you'll get to where you want to get to.
Sometimes I hesitate to ask these questions because we don't ask the men about their kids, but I've just known your daughter for so long, and you were such a, like, you had to bring her with you. You talked about taking her to Israel. You would take her on the road with you. Like, this was such a journey for the two of you. How have you been able to navigate being a high-level player, being a champion, and now being a coach, and being a mom? It's mm-hmm. It's a real piece of your life.
Yeah. It takes a village. I've had a great support system. Just sometimes whenever I was in the W, my mom and dad would take my daughter for a little bit of time in the summer, and she would spend time with them. And it really worked when I was in San Antonio, because we would just meet halfway and then she can come to some games. And, you know, as she's gotten older, she's supported me through everything. She's supporting me right now. I think she's having more fun with me coaching than she was with playing, because she's really into it and watching the games and kind of giving some feedback. But I couldn't do this without her support. And she's really pushing me to go for my dreams and what I'm passionate about.
We're kind of seeing a women's sports movement right now. You know, I've been covering Caitlin Clark all season and some of these young dynamic players. As someone who kind of was pushing this boulder up the hill, you know, if you will, you've been pushing women's sports for a long time. You talked about Cheryl Swoops being someone that you looked up to. What is it like for former players and women that did all this work and laid the foundation to see how it's paying off for these young women right now?
Yeah, I love it. Women's basketball is booming right now, and it needs to be. They deserve it. The players even before me deserved it, but, you know, any time is better than no time at all. So I'm proud of where it is now, and kudos for Caitlin and Angel Juju and all those girls that's really striving and putting women's basketball on the map.
I love to see it. Okay, before we let you get out of here, Women's History Month, was there any woman that was impactful to you, or that was a mentor, or someone that you looked up to that you want to shout out?
Yeah, I have to shout out my mother. Today is her birthday, too. Happy birthday, Mom. I love you. But my mom was my coach when I was little in Little League, and she's the one that taught me how to be unselfish. She wanted to coach me because she didn't want any other coaches coaching me and me shooting all the shots. So she really taught me how to teamwork and don't take all the shots and pass. So I owe that to her.
Shout out to your mom. That's a great way to look at that. Well, Gia Perkins, just absolute legend. I'm just so proud to have you here, because I've gotten to watch your career from the very beginning. I remember doing one of your Sweet 16 games when you were playing at Texas Tech. To now, here you are coaching for the Salt Lake Stars. So what a cool journey. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Holly.
All right. That's been The Front Row. We'll see you again next time.